Welcome to Hype Podcast, episode 99. Oh, guys, I should have prepared some kind of I got 99 problems, but I don't know. Agent Carter ain't one because it's canceled.
It's too soon, Selena. Too soon.
I laugh my pain away. That's how I hype this week. Welcome everyone to Hype 99. Next week is 100 and we're freaking out because we have no idea what to do yet, but we will figure that out. For now though, we're just here to talk about fandom news with you as always. My name is Selena and I have with me Kristen and Pam. Hello.
Hi. Hello. I had to parrot you, Lucy.
Hello, hello.
Hello.
That's what happens when you get me up at 5 in the morning.
I like it.
Surprise, I'm speaking English at all. So that's a good start. So Hype is hypeable.com's podcast, all about the latest news in pop culture. We talk about TV shows and movies and music and books and all that fun stuff. You can find everything we talk about on hypeable.com, which is hypable.com, where you can also find the post for this podcast if you want to leave us any comments. You can find us on Twitter at hypeablehype. You can find us on Instagram at hypeablehype. You can email us hype@hypeable.com. And drum roll, we have a new way of interacting with us. It's so exciting. We have made a Tumblr. Durr!
Wow.
I know. Ooh. We're so excited. Last week, this was how it happened. We all sat on Skype after the show, and Merima made a Tumblr. Then she added a picture of Sebastian Stan winking at the camera, and for the next half hour, we just sat and stared at it.
This is a true story. We couldn't look away, and that's why you guys need to go to our Tumblr page so that you too can also not look away.
Yes, exactly. And what is the Tumblr page? Because I didn't even notice.
I'm pretty sure it's hypepodcast.tumblr.com.
That sounds right, yes. Continuing the theme of Sebastian Stan, so that's always fun. So yeah, and then you can also get in contact with us there. We posted the Damien interview that was very popular, so we were very excited about that. So you should hopefully see some other fun stuff coming your way via our Tumblr. So it's worth checking out and follow us, and we'll follow you back, and it's gonna be so much fun. So that's everything for us, and now going into how we hype. Aside from setting up Tumblrs, this is just about what we've been doing in fandom this past week, what we've been interested in, and I guess I'll go first because mine is like the least relevant to our discussion this week. So I went to a medieval fair this week, which was super fun. Like, ooh, the day before I had this big assignment planned for school, I just was like, I'm gonna go to a medieval fair. And I mean, it's vaguely fandom because it's like, I'm a fan of the Middle Ages, so that counts. And it was just so much fun, you guys. There was like knight tournaments, and I bought like some herbs, and like my little cousins were there, and I bought them bows and arrows because that's what I'm like. And then they proceeded to like point them at each other. It was just like little rubber things on them, so it wasn't like dangerous, but that was like a mess. But it was also very funny. I don't know if you guys have ever been to medieval fairs. I'm in love with them. I think it's so amazing.
I've always wanted to go.
Mm.
I have been to, we have, in San Francisco, there's a Dickens fair every year at Christmas time. And it's just like, you know, Charles Dickens era themed. And it's wonderful. But that is a completely different time period. Similar concept, just very different. And that's always really fun. Because people get all dressed up and, you know, you eat as the locals used to eat and drink as the locals used to drink, and it's wonderful.
That all sounds like fun. I need to look into this.
Yes. Yeah, you do. It's very, very fun, and it's very sort of just, it's very relaxing. Like, despite there being all these people, like, the people there, like, in another life, I would totally have been, like, a medieval reenactor person, because it just, they sit around and, like, cook their meat and, like, make their bows and stuff, and it just like looks so fun.
Do you dress up when you go, or do you?
No,
just...
no, not at all. And I probably would be a very bad reenactor because I don't like dressing up for stuff. But no, I really enjoy it, and it's just so fun to see the passion of these people and to see them, like, legitimate. They have a craft, and like, I just think it's great. So I had a great time, and then I almost missed my deadline the next day, so that wasn't so fun, but whatever. This is about fandom. So in that sort of fandom-y vein, Kristen, why don't you tell us what you're excited about this week?
Well, this week we've been inundated with all of the fun Upfronts news, and one of the things that I am most excited for next year is a show called Time After Time. I am so excited about it. It was created by Kevin Williamson. It stars Freddie Stroma, who you might know from Unreal or as Cormac McLaughlin from Half-Blood Prince, and Josh Bowman, who was on Revenge. Josh Bowman's character is basically Jack the Ripper, and Freddie Stroma's character is, I cannot remember his name.
He's H.G. Wells.
H.G. Wells,
I'm so
thank you.
I'm excited for this, too.
I just totally blanked on the name. He's H.G. Wells, and, like, they, there's, you, if you watch the trailer, you find out that, like, this, they're gonna catch Jack the Ripper, and so he jumps in the time machine and comes to, like, our time in the future, and so H.G. Wells gets in and follows him, and, like, it's these two guys who are kind of out of time in our time period, and it looks, like, so much fun. Like, it's, I'm so, so, so excited for it. It's, like, the cast is great, the people behind the show are people I love, and I'm so, so, so excited. So that is the trailer that I'm most geeked, and the thing in fandom I'm most geeked about this week.
It's like Kate and Leopold meet Sleepy Hollow. It's wonderful. It's going to be so fun.
Yeah, it looks so cool. And the trailer, like, was everything I wanted it to be. It's a little bit funny, definitely serious. You get the time travel aspect. You get, like, the crime, murder, mystery kind of thing in there, too. It all looks like a lot of fun.
Awesome. That sounds great. And Pam, what about you?
Yeah, so, like, piggybacking off of Kristen, I think we've all been really focused on Upfronts because they happen every year, and if you're a consumer of pop culture or, like, specifically TV, I think everybody's kind of watching out for Upfronts because that's when you know if your favorite shows get the axe or if they're going to get renewed. And it also gives you a chance to see what's coming up on all of these networks' television slates for the next year. And so, like Kristen, I'm super excited for Time After Time. I was really, really impressed by that trailer, and I'm really interested to see kind of the twists and turns that they throw into this concept. But another show that has been getting a lot of traction that I'm really excited about too is one called Pitch, and it deals with the life of this girl who becomes the first female pitcher to get called up into the major leagues after pitching in AAA, and she plays for the San Diego Padres over at Petco Park, and it just looks so good. And, like, I grew up watching baseball, so as a girl that, like, loves baseball, I'm really excited to see what they do with this. They are partnered with MLB to do this as well, which I think is really, really great because it kind of shows that Major League Baseball is also very supportive of women and fans that are women and things like that, because contrary to popular belief, there are a lot of girls that love baseball, and so I just think this show's, like, so my aesthetic. I'm so stoked for it.
I am also excited for Pitch. I was a fast pitch softball pitcher in my day back in high school, and so I have a very special place in my heart for, like, that trailer amazed me. Like, just, I'm so, so, so excited. It looks really good. Just, it's going to be a good year for TV next year, man. I'm excited.
Same. And there's so many more trailers out. So, I mean, like, Hypeable has been covering a couple. I know that a lot of us have been tweeting about, you know, shows that we're excited for that are coming up and stuff like that. So there's plenty of ways for you guys to, like, check these things out if you're interested, and I'm pretty sure that we'll have some content going up on Hypeable that kind of encompasses everything that Upfronts has given us this
year.
Absolutely.
Keep
an eye out for
Pitch
that.
Pitch looks fantastic. A couple of the other ones look great. We're going to be talking about TV shows, some less exciting news and more exciting news later on in the show, but we want to move to film right now, specifically franchise films. All But One is a superhero movie story today, so that's fun. And we're going to start, not in Marvel this week, in WB, in DC, because this is a sign I've officially switched my loyalties, guys. I'm just kidding, kind of. Okay, go on, Kirsten.
No, well, my loyalties have always been split. I have an appreciation for both. And we found out this week that Warner Brothers, in another move to avoid a Batman versus Superman issue again, I mean, it did all right, but it wasn't as good as they wanted it to do. They have hired / put in charge of their slate of films Warner Brothers Vice President John Berg, alongside the newly added Jeff Johns, will be running the film division. You'll know Jeff Johns' name from shows like Arrow and The Flash and Supergirl. He's been working with Mark Guggenheim and Andrew Kreisberg to bring all of those shows to life, and has had been an active part of all of that. So to see him get a say in the movies side of this as well, even though it's a different universe, even though we're not going to be seeing the TV characters in the movies, I'm so glad he is now involved. He has a really good handle on the DC side of things, and I really think this was a smart move for them.
Mm-hmm. I think it's interesting. I think it's it says a lot about their ambitions, and I like it. I officially like it now because ... this has been an interesting week for fans of female superhero films, specifically because we had some news over from Marvel again, with them reportedly shaking up the Iron Man 3 villain and making it a woman, making it a man, and some other unfortunate comments from that camp. And then, lo and behold, WB announces they're planning an all-female superhero movie with Harley Quinn as leading this ragtag team of female superhero movies. So it was so funny because, like, on a personal note, this came like an hour after I tweeted, oh my god, I can't, like, I'm so sick of Marvel not having, like, any commitment to its female characters, and imagine if Black Widow had a film and we just, like, lump in all of the, like, Maria Hill and Daisy Johnson and Scarlet Witch and all these people, and there you go, DC answered my desires, and Margot Robbie, who's of course plays Harley Quinn, is attached to the project, and she's so involved, like, she's reportedly deeply involved with the project, and there's rumors that the movie will include Batgirl and Birds of Prey, and it was actually her idea, is that what the Hollywood Reporter is saying. She fell in love with these female superheroes and brought the idea to Warner Brothers, so this is basically, like, the female Avengers that we never thought could happen, and then, boom, Warner Brothers is doing it. I like
so
it.
So Margot Robbie is now our hero, basically.
Yeah, basically. I mean, no idea when this is going to happen or anything, but just knowing it's in development is just, considering how little we get, it's good news, you know?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. It's exciting. And it's kind of a, you know, thinking about Birds of Prey and Batgirl and all of that, like, it's kind of a side of DC comics that we haven't really seen in the movies. I mean, you always get Batman and Superman and The Flash and all of them. They show up a lot, but you don't always see, like, Batgirl and all of that get involved. So just the fact that they're kind of interested in dipping into those, that section of the comics, like, that's really, really exciting.
Mm-hmm. I think so. I really do. And it's going to be exciting to see just... And what I kind of like, too, about this being on WB is that if it bombs, like, if it doesn't do very well, if it gets panned, like, they can't really say anything, because that's what happened to Batman v Superman. Like, it didn't get... Yeah. It didn't bomb, but it got panned, certainly, by critics. And I just feel like it's more... And Suicide Squad, who the hell knows how that's going to be... You know,
exactly. Yeah.
So there's a little bit more leeway, whereas I feel like with Marvel, anything less than a record breaker is going to be considered a failure.
Yeah. No, I see exactly that. Like, DC can't blame it on the female characters being what failed the movie, when they have not been able to put together a number one hit. They have not been, you know, since Batman since Dark Knight Rises, they haven't been able to put together a DC hero movie that does super, super well. So, mm-hmm. yeah, they can't blame it on it was a female character and that's why. Marvel can if they make a female-centric movie that
yeah,
fails.
Yeah, because
like,
they've got that, they've got a female-centric one movie for the women and one movie for the like the persons of color, the black superhero, and we'll talk about that in a minute, you know, but that does mean a lot riots on those because there's just one of each.
Yeah. And yeah, and that it shouldn't be how it is, but unfortunately is how Marvel is doing things, so.
Yeah. Yeah, unfortunately. But good stuff is happening, right, Pam?
Oh, yes. Speaking of ladies joining the comic universe, we have a lot of Black Panther casting news, the first of which involves Lupita Nyong'o. The Academy Award winner is rumored to be joining Marvel's Black Panther movie, and she is slated to play the love interest if all things go to plan. So that we'll see her starring opposite Chadwick Boseman and being directed by Ryan Coogler. And this is not the only casting news we got for Black Panther this week. We also got confirmation that Michael B. Jordan has officially signed on to star in this as well, which personally excites me because I absolutely adore him as an actor. I think he can pretty much do anything. So I'm really looking forward to seeing him do this. Of course, he's also done another superhero movie. He did Fantastic Four, which was a really terrible flop of a movie. But he did Creed, and Creed was amazing. So there's the silver lining.
Let's just pretend he didn't do Fantastic Four.
Yeah, so of course he worked with Ryan Coogler on Creed, so it's kind of no surprise that Coogler decided to tap Jordan to do this. And yeah, so it's a very interesting time to just be keeping tabs on Black Panther because there's a lot of casting rumors going around, and I'm sure we're going to get a lot more details coming up since this is Marvel's kind of number one project that's in production right now. They're really focusing on this, especially considering Black Panther got so much love in the latest Cat movie, so it mm-hmm. makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Both Lupita Nyong'o and Michael B. Jordan are on my, like, must-see lists. Like, anything they make immediately goes to the top of my list. I love them both, so I'm really excited to see them in the same movie. Like, beyond excited.
I'm, like, just really sad that she's, like, a love interest. Like, that's, like, I'm just so mad that this is the way that they're sort of, oh, look, she's gonna be a love interest. Like, ah, can't she just be a,
yes,
like, a person?
But you know, well, yeah, that's true. I mean, like, Marvel obviously doesn't have a good track record with you for this right now, but there is always
the silver
lining. I don't think it has with
anyone for this.
But I know it stings a little deeper right now because you were so upset about Sharon Carter, like, last week. So, mm-hmm. But yes, you're right. But, I mean, like, there's always the hope that she is, like, the badass love interest that, you know, actually takes charge.
But.
I like to live in denial, apparently.
Yes.
But.
Yes. No, I mean, and it's just like a tiny thing. It's just, you know, when you see Marvel, what is it, like the three main love interests now, like, or four if you count Peggy, which you should. Peggy is dead, and what's her face? Pepper and Jane and Sharon are all just gone. Like, they're just gone, and like, no explanation. And like, who knows if Sharon's gonna be back? But the other two, like, boom, you know, the contacts were up and they just disappeared. And it is that sort of form of her having to be contextualized straight away. Like, her presence in the movie is like, it's not like Michael B. Jordan. It's like, oh my god, he's gonna be in the movie. It's like, she's gonna be in the movie as a love interest. Like, I don't know, guys. I don't like it. But it's like a tiny complaint in what is otherwise looking like a great project. I think, what did they say? It's gonna be 90%, like a black cast in this one.
Right.
Which is amazing.
Yeah. And that's also why I think we're getting a lot, like, there's so pretty much like anybody who's anybody that is a black actor is being rumored to perhaps take part. Like, today is that jump. John Boyega is also now rumored, which would be amazing, but also, like, doesn't even have the time with Star Wars. Exactly. That's great.
It's also amazing, and it's wonderful, and I just hope that this isn't going to go down in history as the black superhero movie. You know, like, that's, like, my one worry is that they're, like, basically, like you said, they're getting everyone who, like, they can possibly get for this movie, which is fantastic, as long as they then continue to use them in future movies, you know, as long as this is a sign that the Marvel is genuinely moving on to more diverse casts and that this isn't just going to be the token one and then we're not going to get that again.
I was going to say, hopefully, seeing all of the interest, when you've got people like Lupita Nyong'o and Michael B. Jordan who are interested in being a part of this, like, hopefully Marvel sees that not only is there a market for it, but that there's all kinds of interest from really high caliber actors to be in these kinds of movies. Like, if they can see that it's not, you know, a niche film, it's not a character that nobody knows and all of this, like, if they can see that, then hopefully this won't be the last time we see this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we could just talk about Marvel all day, but that's instead... true. I say we move on and talk about Ghostbusters.
Yay!
There's a new trailer. You know, I am too. I love the original Ghostbusters movies. They're ridiculous. They're so much fun. I quote them all the time. Like, it's ridiculous. Watching this trailer, especially, I was more excited than I have been before. Like, we kind of got a few glimpses at some stuff that is, like, iconically Ghostbusters. Like, we got a glimpse at something that looked like the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man, and there was a scene where Kristen Wiig's character is being dragged out of a restaurant, and it's very reminiscent of... you know, a scene where Bill Murray's character was being pulled out of the restaurant. Like, there's a lot of stuff in here that kind of calls back to the original, and that was what I was missing from the first trailer. So, I'm excited. I'm gonna see it. I think it's gonna be awesome.
I agree. I 100% agree. I think that, like, to be honest with you, I thought it looked good since the beginning. And whenever I see, it's like kind of like those weird opinions that just form for no reason, like... people are like, oh, it looks awful, oh, it just doesn't look funny, oh. I'm like, well, you know, does it really look any worse than anything else? Or are you just saying that to either hate on it or be cool with the haters? Like, I'm just not, like, even if you don't think it looks amazing, having that kind of reaction to a trailer usually doesn't chill out, basically. Like, but I do think this was the best of the three because it just... I enjoy Paul Feig a lot, and I enjoy the cast a lot, and I enjoy Ghostbusters a lot, and I think this movie looks fantastic, and there's, like, that's the thing, like, I just don't get that people are legitimate, like, the woman hating, I get, because that's the thing that happens, you know, but this, pretending like this is in some way an inferior movie to all the movies that happen is ridiculous, because I just don't see it. I legitimately think it looks great.
The first trailer that I saw for this, I just thought it was, like, it felt like it was missing something to me. I always thought it looked like fun, and it looked like a funny, ridiculous movie, because that's what Ghostbusters is. So, like, I've always wanted to see it. I've always kind of been on for the project, but the first trailer for me just felt like it was missing something that was, like, Ghostbusters, you know, like, there was something about it that I was missing that this trailer had. I can't put my finger on exactly what it was, but this trailer had what I was looking for.
Sure, but it was also a teaser trailer, the first one. So, true. Like, you know, and it was done before filming was done, so I sort of feel like that's not uncommon for first trailers to do that. So I feel like, you know, that that's the whole, people are, like, very, very, like, looking for... That's what I was kind of saying about the female Marvel movie, and I feel like it's the same for this one. Unless this movie is literally the best movie ever made, it's not going to be good enough for a lot of people. Not even people that say that they're not angry about the movie because of the women. You know, because they're going to say, oh, it wasn't funny, oh, I didn't have, like, whatever. And that's fine. That's, like, not a thing that you can't say that. I'm just saying it's got really unreasonable odds to live up to. And unless it has, like, everything you want, people are so... I'm not talking about you. I'm just, like, saying in general, people are so quick to be like, yeah, it's not my Ghostbusters. And it really pisses me off.
I think some of that might just be internet talk. Like, I mean, I know we are... the internet generation, whatever. But
we are the
there's
internet.
A lot. I mean, but there's a lot of people who don't spend as much time as we do on the internet who I think will see this film. Whether it's because it's a Ghostbusters film and they're interested to see how they do it. Like, my dad does not do anything on the internet ever and is a huge fan of the old Ghostbusters movies. And I can totally see my mom taking him to this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think there is a, you know, I think there is an audience that may not be online to talk about it that will possibly see this movie that is just not a part of the conversation because they don't get online and get involved. You know what I mean? So I'm hoping that some of this is just internet fanboys kind of going crazy and that when it comes out, it is more warmly received than it seems.
I totally agree.
I think so. I think you've got a point there, Kristen. And also, like, I think the negativity, like, those comments, they always are the loudest, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. But I think that, yeah, I'm sure it'll do well. And it's also, like, one of those movies that it's, like, it's scary, but it's not. It's still, like, a family adventure. And like you said, Kristen, people like you or me or other, you know, like, it's like, if you've started a family already, it's, like, something you can still take, like, your little older kids to, and everybody can have a good time. It'll be fine. Mm-hmm. So.
Absolutely. I mean, I hope you guys
I think the only thing that'll kill it is pretty much what it's up against, because July is a really popular month for big blockbusters to hit. And so that might be the only thing that might hurt it in the box office. But other than that, I think that there are a lot of people that have maybe just seen the trailer on TV, don't really go online and really think it's
yeah,
funny.
And don't have a reason to jump on the hate bandwagon, because that's like, that was kind of my point. Like, if you just see the trailer without being a jackass, it looks fine. Like, even if it doesn't look amazing, even if it's missing something, even if whatever, it looks fine. Like... And there's been so many great articles that have said it a lot better than I do. I know there was one, I can't remember where it was from now, but it basically argued that if you, I'm just going to find it on my Twitter feed. I tweet too much, guys. It was from Esquire, actually, funnily enough. And it said, the new Ghostbusters will not ruin the original or your childhood. And if you think so, then it's time for you to grow up. So basically, this is a fantastic piece of writing, just sort of reminding everyone that this is fine. This is not a stain on the original, and they name all these examples of other reboots that have not hurt the original. Even if it's terrible, it's not going to be a stain on the original. And I've said before, like, if this, because people keep coming to me and being like, we aren't all woman haters. Some of us genuinely just recognize that this is, like, a bad idea and that remakes, like, are stupid and shouldn't happen. And I tell all of them that if that was really the case, then Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles would be the most downvoted trailer in YouTube history. Because, let's be real, like, it's not, they're not downvoting it because it's a remake. So, I'm just pissed off, but very excited about the actual movie itself. I'm going to see it 10 times.
And Selena will single-handedly assure that it is a box office success.
Yeah, I've said before, like, this is my hill to die on. Like, I don't give a fuck. I just want, like, this movie to... and, like, even, like, that, and I've said this before, like, obviously I'm going to... If it sucks, if I really don't like it, like, I'm not going to say it. Because there's enough hate going on. Like, I feel like, and that's the thing, if people, because I've seen, like, genuine, I'm going to stop talking about this, though, sorry, but I've seen genuine journalists be like, I don't hate women, but the movie just doesn't look very good. And I'm like, no, but then you could just not tweet about it, maybe. Like, because don't you think there's enough hate going on? That you need to be like, actually, you know, academically speaking or professionally speaking, blah, blah, blah. Like, you know how those comments are going to take. You know who you're pandering to with those comments. I'm just saying, in this particular case, let's be real. Okay, I'm sorry. I took your story. Giving it back to you if you have anything
else. No, you're fine. No. We all know that Selena is very passionate about Ghostbusters, so.
Suddenly.
I mean, what else is there to be passionate about?
Oh my God, let's talk about something else that we're also passionately angry about. Where's Mer? It's a good thing Merma isn't here, probably, because it would be too much.
She's in mourning.
Yeah, she is. She's not here. Merma is all in black, holding a vigil for Peggy Carter, who died twice last week. Because that's just what awesome heroes do nowadays, I guess. Like, oh my God. Agent Carter is canceled, you guys. It's official. We all knew it was gonna go this way, but actually getting the news was still extremely upsetting. I know that Pam never caught up with it. I still think you should. How about you, Kristen?
Oh, I love that show. Mm-hmm. I've rewatched it. This especially first season, like when it first came out and we were waiting for second, I think I rewatched it like 3 or 4 times. It's so good. It's so well done, and it's funny, and it's adventure-y. And I love Agent Carter, and I'm among the many who are heartbroken and would love to see it saved, but we probably won't because Hayley Atwell is a very busy woman, and you know, I'm totally with the, what is it, 88,000 people who would like to see Netflix pick it up. I mean, Netflix has all of the other Marvel shows, like, pick up Agent Carter, come on. I'd love to see more from it, even if it goes, like, a Sherlock route and we have to wait 2 years or something. I'm totally fine with that. Just knowing that it's not dead would be really lovely. But for now, we will just mourn Peggy and love that we have 2 full seasons of her that we can watch and remember.
It's just, I mean, because you're watching Buffy, like, unrewatchable right now, and we're in season 3 now, which is, in my opinion, when it starts to get really good, and, like, and I just, watching Peggy, like, very few shows sort of make me feel, like, happy, like Buffy did, you know, in a different way, because that was a little bit more scary, but Peggy just has that, there's just something, and Hayley Atwell obviously has a lot to do with this as well, you just feel, like, safe with Peggy. I don't know, it's a weird thing. Like, when you watch that show, you just feel like, okay, things are going to be good. Like, Peggy's got this, you know?
Yeah.
And I feel like that sort of, that with the show, and people are saying, oh, well, you know, second season wasn't as good, they ruined it with a love triangle. I don't think that's true. I think season 2 was good, even if we could have done without the love triangle. I still think season 2 was really good. And I just think having, like, and wanting Agent Carter canceled for whatever reason is obviously, like, very sort of anti what we want, which is, you know, more shows like this on TV. So I agree. I don't have high hopes for it returning, but if anyone's going to pick it up, it's Netflix, and especially for, like, a, even a 3-episode, like you said, like Sherlock model. Or a little movie or something. Like, I feel like they could do it. Like, the only thing holding it back would be Hayley Atwell, because obviously she's got her new show, and who knows? Like, maybe she wants to move on. Maybe she's done. Like, my theory, and I know people don't agree with this, but I still stand by it. I think that Marvel killing Peggy in Civil War and, like, killing her off-screen and having her death sort of go over very quickly and very sort of swept under the rug, like, to introduce Sharon Carter. Like, I think it shows, it predicted that Agent Carter was going to get canceled, and it shows that as far as the Marvel Cinematic Universe goes, they don't really think that people are going to care about Peggy now that she's canonically dead. Like, that's really, I really believe that. I think they've killed her off in the movies, so they assume that people aren't going to care. Clearly, this prediction has proven them wrong, so let's hope that they sort of reconsider.
Yeah. She's just a fantastic character, and, you know, I would love to see a miniseries or, like a 3-episode limited series or something to keep Peggy alive. Again, you know, if the cast is up for it, that's a very, you know, popular and in-demand cast now, like Dominic Cooper, I think it is, is, you know, he's not no slouch. I mean, I know he just kind of popped in and out, but he's got a lot going on. He's got his own show. So, you know, I would love to see it not die and not just go out the way it did. There's a lot of story left to tell, and we were just getting into the Jarvis and Anna. Mm-hmm. Thank you. We were just getting into the Jarvis and Anna stuff, and, you know, like, and that was so good this season, and yeah, it just breaks your heart that we're saying goodbye without actually really getting a chance to say goodbye, so.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And the timing of it, obviously, was also unfortunate. But, I mean, there's a little bit more sort of in behind-the-scenes stuff that's just interesting to consider here. I mean, obviously, ABC also chose not to go ahead with Marvel's Most Wanted, which pisses everyone off who's watched Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which now includes me, because Bobby and Hunter were so good on the show, and they wrote them off in the most ridiculous way. Like, it was insanely convoluted and ridiculous just so they could have the spin-off, and now it's not happening, which obviously might mean they come back to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which would be wonderful. And actually, there's been also some other shakeups. ABC chose to cancel Castle, and then it ended, like, very suddenly. It was very sort of within the span of a week, I think, all this Castle drama happened, and we had Nashville got canceled as well. Gallivant got canceled as well. And actually, Screen Rant has a little bit of background information that I just wanted to let everyone know about, just because I found it interesting. ABC recently had a big shakeup in their presidents. Paul Lee was the previous president, and Screen Rant writes he was let go because, like, the network didn't have as good ratings as they wanted, and because there was some behind-the-scenes tension between him and the Disney ABC television group chairman, Ben Sherwood. Lee was apparently an advocate for serialized dramas, and he was a champion of all the shows that got canceled, including Most Wanted and Agent Carter. And the new president is called Channing Dungey, and she is apparently more aligned with Ben Sherwood's vision of an ABC with more close-ended episodic procedurals. Hence, Hayley Atwell's new procedural. So, I mean, this just looks really bad for ABC, in my opinion, because that's, like, the last thing I want from my television is close-ended, episodic procedurals. And clearly this is some kind of response to the Netflix model, to the sort of limited edition series that they don't have to commit to people's low attention span, that everything has to be close-ended and standalone. And just imagine, here was this guy who was like, we don't know all the details, but I just imagine this guy sort of holding up, like, a sword and being like, Agent Carter, ah! And then, like, they just slam him down.
Well, it's kind of crazy, because I'm thinking about, like, what shows are, like, flourishing right now, and, like, Game of Thrones and Walking Dead and The 100, like, none of them are procedural, like, they're all one grand,
but they're also
giant
fringe networks or cable. Like,
True.
Network television, you've got the NCIS vehicles and the CSI vehicles and all that, you know?
Yeah, but,
which,
like,
really,
I mean,
funny,
ABC,
though. No, it was very quickly, because, like, CSI just canceled their last, Offspring. So there's, like, no point to that. You know what I mean? Like, sorry, that's all I had to say. It's just, like, that makes no sense. Because clearly it's, like, it's declining. Like, those things are declining. CSI Cyber was only around for 3 seasons. So what does that tell you? You know?
Yeah, and I mean, like, Grey's Anatomy, while it's a giant drama, has a bit of a procedural touch to it, because you get a case every episode, and there's storylines that are wrapped up within the episode almost every week, so it has a bit of that procedural in it already, and it's done, you know, amazingly for the network, but it's not, like, the only thing that works. Like, I'm surprised that's the direction they're looking for. That's so weird.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for every NCIS, there's a Lost that, you know, is a grand, giant monster that has an amazing, you know, story that's not a procedural. Like, I don't understand why they would think one equals success and the other is not.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah, you're right. But, I mean, honestly, yeah, I think this is just kind of a very short-sighted attempt to boost up their ratings, because they're going to do, like, event series and, you know, procedural series that, like, traditionally, unless they're already well-established, procedural series do all right. but they don't do fantastic. But I guess they do better than genre shows. I guess that's what they're trying to say. Is that genre shows on network television, unless it's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.,
I'm wondering if the procedurals are just more, like, attractive to them because you don't necessarily have to catch up with everything in order to get into it. Like, for example, Doctor Who is a big one. Like, you always hear people saying, oh, well, I don't know if it's still the same because I'm, like, not caught up on Doctor Who. But when it was getting bigger in the States, people were asking, oh, do I need to watch all of it to, like, start now? And unfortunately, because they were kind of bringing it over when Matt Smith and the Pawns were still a big thing, like, you kind of did at least have to watch Matt Smith's Doctor. But procedural, something like NCIS or, like, Criminal Minds or Law and Order, you can just kind of jump into the episode of the week or the episode of the hour, and you don't, like, feel like you miss anything. But that's just so sad, because it's like, when you think about TV, or the reason that we watch TV, it's really the foundation on, like, characterization and the time that you commit to getting to know these people and this world that they live in, and like, you know, the interconnectedness and stuff like that. And so to say that, like, your audience only wants procedurals, it's almost like dumbing it down.
I think that's what that's exactly what they're doing. Like, and I, you know, I hate sort of going too, because again, we don't really know the, like, we only know it from this report, but I think that makes sense, because that's the thing, when you have networks trying to compete with streaming services, they're looking at, okay, well, what's gonna do well, like, this popcorn, like, no, not popcorn television, but, like, easy access, like, bite-sized television. Either it's a closed, like, 6-episode series that wraps up, that people can commit to for those 6 weeks, or it's this procedural thing that just runs and runs, and you can just, like a soap, you know, you can just tune in whenever you want and catch up super quick. And I think it makes sense, but I also think it's a shame, because the best, like, there, it's not that there's not good procedurals, but the ones that really grip fandom are the genre shows. It's the serialized shows. It's the ones that get buzz. So I do wonder if this is a really smart move for them. It's certainly not making me more excited about ABC. Not that I matter to them, but but I'm saying it anyway, damn it. And they're actually developing a bunch of new Marvel properties for ABC too, so it's not even like they're getting rid of Marvel, they're just getting rid of the ones we liked.
Yeah.
And adding some new ones. So, good times all around at ABC. Let's talk about a better network that we all love.
Yeah. And it's about to become more loved. Supergirl, which was previously airing on CBS on Mondays, has moved to the CW. I have to say, I'm a little torn about this. I loved Supergirl this season. It is one of my favorite shows on TV right now. It's so much fun. It's smart. It's witty. It's just there. And I don't know if it's, like, I'm assuming that the show is moving, and so everyone is moving with it. We haven't really gotten a lot of details about exactly what this move means, but they're more than just moving networks. They're potentially moving the production to Vancouver, where many of the CW's shows, slash all of them, are produced and where they film. And I guess that raised a few issues with some of the cast and crew, particularly Calista Flockhart, who plays Cat Grant. Reportedly, she has agreed to move with it to Vancouver, but she was not excited about the move. So I'm a little nervous. I'm nervous about budget, because CBS's budget is bound to be larger than the CW's. But as long as we're getting more Supergirl, I'm going to be happy about it. I mean, the backbone of it is Melissa Benoist as, you know, Kara Danvers, and she is the best part. And so as long as that stays the same, I think I can handle the rest of it.
Yeah. I don't know about you, Pam. I need to, like, I've given this show 3 chances. Like, I want to like it so badly, but I just don't. I like her so much. Like, it's kind of like similar to Agent Carter, why I started watching for her, and it took me a while to get into the world. but I still watch for her. But with Supergirl, it's like, I like her. It feels, it's too, Supergirl, superhero showy, I guess.
I mean,
to sum up, you know?
That is...
It's kind of like The Flash. I couldn't get into that either.
I think that was one of the concerns with, like, Supergirl is she's, you know, Kryptonian and they are all powerful and it's hard to, like, you know, tell a compelling story with someone who can do everything. But I think they've done a decent job of getting around that. I can see it is very superhero-y. And if it's mm-hmm. not your cup of tea, then I, you know, like, I can totally see that. Who knows what moving to the CW will do? Maybe it will give it a twist. Maybe something will work. Who knows? But we will be getting more Supergirl, which is the, you know, the best part about it. We'll see how it goes from there.
And CW is just slowly becoming the superhero network.
I mean,
like the DC network. See, there's got to be DCW.
Pretty much. I mean, they've had really, really great success with all of it so far. Mm-hmm. So, you know, don't rock the boat kind of thing. Yeah.
Okay. So now we get to talk about the one new story that I've been so like excited about. You guys. I know. I've been waiting. Prison Break is coming back, you guys. And the trailer premiered during Upfronts. And it looks so, so good. And it gave me all the feels. And before I just start, like, flailing over here, I'm just going to give you guys a rundown of what's going down. So they're choosing to ignore the made-for-TV movie that happened with Prison Break. So if you saw that, just, like, forget it ever happened or else, like, obviously this would not make sense. So it opens up and we get this, like, beautiful scene with Sarah and her son, who's also Michael's son. And then it turns out that Michael's still alive. Shocker. But he's in prison in some other country. So now Link is going to go and break him out and it's going to be so good. And we saw a lot of characters that, you know, people that watched Prison Break will remember, like, we saw Teabag and Sucre and, you know, like, all of these other people just look so good, and I'm so impressed that they were able to get everybody from, you know, Wentworth Miller and Dominic Purcell to Robert Knepper back for this, so it's, like, it's so great. I'm so excited, and I'm really, really hoping that it lives up to my expectations, because right now my excitement level is at an all-time high.
That's awesome.
Karen and I sat down and watched the, I've never seen an episode of Prison Break before. Karen and I sat down and watched the series premiere, like, you know, episode, the premiere episode, and it was really good. Like, I haven't had the time to dive into it right now, but now that TV is kind of wrapping up for the summer and shows are ending, I might be moving Prison Break to, like, the top of my to-watch list, because I was really intrigued by it, and I just, you know, when it originally was on, it wasn't something that I was, you know, excited about, but now I love Wentworth Miller, and now I love Dominic Purcell, so I'm like, of course I have to watch it, right? So
yeah, and it's so funny because it's so different from, you know, his character as Snart on, like, you know, all these superhero movies. Like, Wentworth Miller in Prison Break is so good. He's so intense. And, like, just the way that he plays Michael Scofield is, like, enchanting. Like, there's, like, no other way for me to describe it, at least for me. And the relationships on this are really good. I think, like, the build and everything is really good. I will say, Kristen and anybody else that's, like, looking to get into it, it does get a little slower towards, like the later series. But obviously that's kind of when the show started, unfortunately, going downhill. But, like, for what it's worth, the first, like, three seasons are absolutely amazing. Like, the first two, three seasons are really good. I think season three is when it starts kind of getting a little, like, I think most people started jumping ship around then. But season one and two are amazing.
Okay, good to know. We'll keep that in mind.
That's so funny that happens, because Prison Break was on around the same time as, like, Angel and stuff, wasn't it? And that was, like, the same thing.
I believe so. I never watched Angel, so I don't like that. That it's like early 2000s, like 2000, like no later than 2005, I would say, if I remember correctly.
And Alias had the same problem, like around season three or four. It was like
yeah. I think with Prison Break, I don't know if it would be the same with what you were referring to, but the repetitiveness of, like, just like always being in jail and stuff like that. I think it kind of
always breaking out of prison.
I know that they're kind of doing the same damn thing for the survival, but I don't know, guys. Like, it's been a while. I'm ready for some more Mike and Link, and it's going to be amazing.
If Prison Break was like a new show on TV today, they would break out of prison in episode 5. And then the rest of it would just be like them running around on an island somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Like Jane the Virgin.
That's right. Somebody would be an actor.
Yeah. Anyway, that's awesome news. Awesome news for you guys. And so another series that should maybe be exciting that is happening is that NBC, so the CW is not the only DC network, we've also got NBDC, is picking up the first superhero comic series titled Powerless. It stars Vanessa Hudgens and Alan Tudyk, which is my main attraction, and Danny Pudi from Community, Christina Kirk as well. So this takes place basically in the universe of DC Comics, and Emily, who is Vanessa Hudgens, plays a spunky young insurance adjuster specializing in regular people coverage against damage caused by the crime-fighting superheroes. So who knows which of the Earths she's on, as we've now know there's more than one. But she accidentally becomes a cult hero in her own right, even if it's just to her group of lovable, quirky co-workers. Now, while she navigates her normal, everyday life against an explosive backdrop, Emily might just discover that being a hero doesn't always require superpowers. So, I want to like this one, and I have no idea until I see it if I will. Because, to be honest, it could go either way.
I totally agree. I was going to say, I saw a couple of interviews that the actors did for Upfronts, and I think that they sold it a lot better than all of the synopses that I've been reading, which is really great. Because, like, Alan was saying that his character is, like, the big bad boss. So, like, he's, like, if I'm talking superheroes, like, my hero would be Lex Luthor. And I think that was, like, a better way to sell that. And then he started talking about how, like, he like, comes into this company to, like, ruffle things up after their boss dies, like, from a freak accident that happened while a hero was trying to save the town. And, like, it sounds a lot more fun when they discuss it. So I think that I'll be tuning in for that. And obviously, like, Danny Pudi is, like, so hilarious. I loved him in Community and stuff. And so it should be fun.
They toy with this on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Oh, they did in season one. They toyed with the fact that the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. were actually the ones cleaning up the superheroes' mess. Like, we saw agents cleaning the streets and stuff. And I like the concept of that a lot. I do wonder, like, how it's going to be with crossover and stuff, because again, this is the only DC show on the network, so they don't really have a lot to work with. And if they are going to be able to, like, do news reports and stuff, if we're going to see, like, because all of the heroes are sort of in their own respective little cities, so depending on where these guys are, will we know any of the heroes that they're battling against? Is that going to be, because, like, not that the hero should have a part in the series, but surely we should know who they are. You know what I mean? Does that make sense? Like,
yeah,
otherwise it's not really going to be a DC show.
Yeah, I was just kind of scrolling through the article looking to see if this had any sort of connection with the other DC series. Like, if there was any sort of name recognition kind of thing with the behind-the-scenes people, and I'm not seeing anything. So, yeah, that's a little weird. Like, I'm trying to think of what superheroes currently are not... DC superheroes are currently not on contract, like, what heroes they could use in this show to set the backdrop. You know, they're not the focus, but you have to kind of name drop in a show like this in order for it to have the impact you want. Like, so I'm hoping, I don't know. It sounds like an interesting, like, premise. Like, I love the idea of it, but I don't know. This is one, if they show the pilot at San Diego Comic-Con, like, I would definitely be there for it. Like, I would want to see it and get an idea of what's going on. So maybe they'll do that, but interesting.
Yeah. And as noted by Caitlin in the article, this was, like, before the CW gained Supergirl, NBC was actually the only broadcast network without a superhero series because Constantine was canceled. And now, obviously, CBS is the only network without a superhero series. So that's kind of interesting to consider. So weird. Like, forget about procedurals. These superheroes are taking over our screens. And that is, you know, if you don't like superheroes, sorry.
Avoid the CW? Yeah. Just watch The 100.
Just do that. And our final story has nothing to do with TV or anything.
That's right. We got to keep you guys up on the tech news because this is also very important in the grand scheme of things. Twitter just announced something that personally excited me and should excite both of you. They're going to make sure that image and like basic website links, all of those pesky little things that take up character counts in the grand scheme of the 140 spaces you have, those are not going to count towards the 140 character limit that you get to say what you want, which I am pleased about, to be honest with you guys, because images and links, it's like it's information. It shouldn't add to your commentary. So I am all for this. This is going to start happening within the next 2 weeks, according to the company, and should just make a lot of people's lives a lot easier. But it sounds like Selena is a little hesitant over there.
No, I was just tired. That was a yay. I really enjoy this because it's like, you know, like, you tweet a lot, or I tweet a lot, and you craft the perfect tweet, and then you put in the link, and it's like, oh crap, I gotta lose 20 characters.
Exactly.
And
your tweet
makes very little sense. Or you have to do that whole, like, 1 out of 5, or whatever, which I hate doing, because it's just spamming. So this is great, because this just, I think 140 characters isn't little, like, it's fine, it's enough to say almost anything. Mm-hmm. But then you gotta, like, you're making a link, or you're I'm still like, I think that ads still counts.
Yeah,
I'm not sure how much, but that's kind of annoying, because then if you have a longer, like, if people have longer like names, I'm less likely to include them in my tweets.
I know. I feel that. I mean, like I'm guilty of
great.
That as well.
You're not
I know
so
yours
great.
Is amazing. I'm horrible, but yeah. At this point, I've like branded myself, so I can't change it. But yeah, I think that the next step for them would be to like take that out. I've always been shocked that has counted, like, because even with somebody like Kristen, or even like our fearless leader Andrew, his is just at Sims. Like, even that in the grand scheme of things sometimes can completely mess you up in terms of trying to make sure you're getting your point across. So this is good. And it also makes sense too, because, you know, I mean, like, I know, like, on my phone, I use Twitter mostly on my phone, and now they have the little GIF button. And so all you do is like push it. But then that like takes up character spaces too, because it's essentially mm-hmm. adding a photo. So, you know.
Yeah. I think this was a long time coming. Like, they should have been doing this from the beginning. So it's lovely now that we won't have to deal with that anymore. Yay for actually being able to tweet what I mean to tweet, not the cut down version. It took me 20 minutes to make hard cuts. Like, it happens. Trust me, it happens.
Although it is a good brain exercise, I will say that, because sometimes I sit there thinking, how can I say what I want to say? It definitely makes you, like think about what you want to say. Well, at least for me. I don't think, like, happens with a lot of people, but I think some people still abuse Twitter. But I think that, like, if you look at it as an exercise, like, what do I really want to say? Like, is it really necessary to add more like than one tweet to this? Then I think that's nice. But it's still going to be great to have that extra space.
It is. And like that, but that's the thing about Twitter. I'm like, this is totally like off base or off the point, but like, you know, it you're still basically summing down eloquent thought and ideas into like a single tweet. And more often than not, people are going to very willfully misinterpret that. Like, every word you say gets more power. And I've definitely noticed since, like, Twitter became a thing, people are so much more hanging on your every word literally. Like, it's so, like, in articles, too. Like, we'll get an article, like, it's, like, 20 tweets, like, angry at us for one word that we used in an article, because they're, like, picking up on that one word and deciding that they're offended by it. without seeing it in context, you know? And I feel like that's Twitter's fault.
You know, it's like, it's funny though, because even also like everybody considers themselves a grammar police, which like makes sense, but also like, I mean, if you're gonna like, I don't know. I feel like that, like Twitter doesn't necessarily like breed good grammar anyway, for the most part, because if you're running out of space, like you might decide not to include that period at the end of your sentence or whatever. But I saw an artist that I follow on Twitter, like somebody had replied and said like his music, it was like going to school or something because like the track was so wonderful or whatever. And he replied back with a pun. It's like, I'm here, like I hear things to educate. And then everybody was like, it's here, H-E-R-E, don't you know how to spell this is that? And I'm like, you guys, like, it's a pun, it's a play on words, educate, he's here, she heard it. She felt like she, where are you all, you guys are all crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. It's basically like Twitter is our way into 1984 and we don't even know it.
Yeah, basically. That's a good point.
So that's fun. And that's the end of the news for today. We had some other stories we didn't get to talk about. Obviously, we already touched on the ABC cancellations of Gallivant and Marvel's Most Wanted and, of course, Castle, which was canceled, which was a good thing for fans because it meant a new, happy ending. So that was good. Then there was the fact that Greg Berlanti has confirmed that he's involved with a booster... Wait, hold on. A boost. That's my Freudian slip. Booster Gold. I wrote Booster Girl. but no, Booster Gold, a film. Greg Berlanti is, of course, the executive producer of Supergirl and The Flash. So that's interesting, too. And then at last, a really nice story from J.K. Rowling when she basically wrote this Expecto Patronum on a piece of paper for a fan to tattoo like on their body, and then you can buy a temporary tattoo version to support charity. So that's super fun, and you can find a lot of info on that on hypeable.com as well as all of our other recent news stories. So moving on into TV show of the week, we're gonna start with Pam. Oh my god! You got to do all the cool stuff. This is awesome.
I can't really... Okay, so basically my TV show of the week this week is Preacher, AMC's Preacher. I don't know how much I can say about it because I signed an NDA, which is really stupid because they obviously screened the pilot at WonderCon. But I saw it right before WonderCon. And I will say, full disclosure, I have not read the comic, but I will say that after talking to the showrunners and the actors that are a part of this, side note, there will be some stuff going up on Hypeable within the next couple of days regarding that. It's very much, you can tell it's very much a passion project with everybody involved, which is always really wonderful because you can tell that everybody cares so much about the series. I did hear from some people that were at my press conference that it's not completely like, in line with the comic, but they were still very, very happy with it. As somebody who has not read it, I absolutely adored the pilot. It is so, so good. You're going to be automatically invested in these characters. And I can't wait for you guys all to see it. It comes out on AMC on the 22nd, so this weekend.
Awesome. Well, that's awesome. I'm glad you got to see it. I'm glad you have good thoughts, because I'm definitely going to be checking that out when it premieres. And Kristen, how about you?
Sure. Once Upon a Time in this season, season 5, has been real touch and go. Somewhere around like January and February, the show kind of went off track and it was really weird and the story was lost and it was a rough like 5 or 6 episodes. But the season finale aired this past Sunday. It was a 2-hour finale and they brought it back around. I'm really excited with the direction they have for season 6. They're going to a new, like, realm, a new kind of world called the World of Untold Stories, which includes characters like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, and we saw the Three Musketeers in it, and a bunch of other characters, and there were a bunch of, like, ideas tossed out throughout the last episode, little Easter eggs for maybe some possibilities of stories we'll see or things that might come up next season. I'm really, really excited about the direction they're taking. We actually got to see some of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde in the finale, quite a bit of them, actually. And Hyde is being played by the guy who played Doomsday on Smallville, and I cannot think of his name at the moment, and it's driving me crazy. But he is absolutely fantastic. I will know his name the second I see it.
Sam Witwer!
Sam Witwer! Thank you so much. Anyway, sorry for whoever edits this. Sam Witwer is playing Hyde, and he was absolutely phenomenal. Like, he embodied the idea of the Hyde side of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde so well. He really blew me away, and I'm a fan of his from Smallville. I loved what he did with the character, and he's done a lot of really great stuff since, and I'm just really, really excited. So if you're a Once Upon a Time fan who maybe had some trouble with season 5, check out the finale. Give it one last chance and see if you like the new direction. I think it's gonna be fun, and I'm looking forward to season 6.
That's nice. That's good to know. Good to hear. So I was originally gonna talk about Legends of Tomorrow because I just caught up. Then I realized that doesn't make any sense because the finale of that is today. And I also watched Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and the finale of that was this week. So it makes more sense to talk about that this week. And since we're likely gonna do a 100 special, the 100 episode special is literally gonna be the 100 episode. It's coming true, guys. But so next week I can talk about Legends of Tomorrow. So this week I will talk about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Do either of you guys keep up with it?
I do, but I'm like 6 or 7 episodes behind. I fell behind when we moved.
Okay.
And I am not up to date. But Karen got caught up tonight and she was like, Kristen. And I'm like, oh no. So I'm
who do you like? Who do you worry about in the finale?
I mean, again,
oh, you're not 6 episodes. It's like a lot.
I was going to say I'm like 5 or 6 behind. I saw, Ward become the Neo crazy
Hive
version. Like, we've seen him in his black scary coat. I remember seeing that. But no, like, just knowing that there was a scary, I know there was a death. I know that, or at least one death, I don't know. And I'm really, really nervous now because, like, I love them all in one way or another. Like, I love Daisy and I love Fitzsimmons and I love May and, you know, I feel like they can't kill Coulson and like,
not again.
And I love Max. So I'm really nervous. I don't want to say goodbye to anybody. And yeah, it's going to be rough.
Well, I will say, just for my sort of brief spoiler-free review, I actually thought it was a really good season finale. You know, I've caught up on the show so rapidly that it all sort of obviously blends into one. I will say, like, that's the one thing is that I'm sort of a little bit sad about the turn of Daisy's story or Skye's story because I liked when she was, like, legitimately a part of the team, and it just seems like ever since she became an Inhuman, that has been her story, and that's fine, but it just also means that she's sort of necessarily removed from the team a lot of the time, which I think it's a weird show when your lead character and, like, the glue that supposedly holds it together isn't there to hold it together. Like, it's almost, like the 100, like when Clark was off in Polis. And it just felt a little bit disjointed because we want all the people to be together, essentially. And that's kind of the same thing. So in that way, I'm sort of looking ahead to what comes next and wondering if I'm really going to enjoy it as much. So that's one thing that does kind of worry me. As for the finale, though, again, I thought it was really good. I thought they wrapped up some of the stories extremely well. Very disappointed by certain things involving Fitz and Simmons, but okay, you can't have everything, I guess. And I love Mac. He's amazing. No spoilers. I love Coulson, actually. I think he's great. She's catching up on Rewatchable, and Natalie said, like, I was biking, and Natalie was like, I hate Coulson, and I was like,
you're not allowed. I'm sorry. You're not allowed to hate Coulson. It's just, no.
No, it's Coulson. He's just doing the best he can.
His first name is Agent.
Yeah. Exactly. And I like May, and I like all of them, and I really I'm glad I caught up with the show, and now I have a whole hiatus to sort of actually understand. I feel like the fandom is the best part. like the actors behind the scenes and stuff, which is amazing. So
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. has some amazing tweets, and like Brett Dalton, who plays Ward, is hysterical.
So funny.
His puns, his puns, like he is the one thing from that show, whether or not I love it or hate it, whatever, I will take following Brett Dalton's career with me from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. because he is just a lot of fun. Like everything I see him do, he has such a good time with it. So like, yeah, I love his tweets. He's ridiculous. His puns are fantastic.
Yes, absolutely. So that's awesome. And let us know if you are caught up with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., what you thought of it, or Once Upon a Time. Let us know when you've seen Preacher, because then we can all talk about that. And we're going to wrap up the show now with some listener feedback. We have two emails this week, and then we have two tweets, so not too much, but the emails are long. I like them, though, so I want to read them all. And Kristen, if you take this first one from Sasha Bear.
Sure, yes. Sasha says, "Hi, Hypes. 3 episodes of Hype in 1 week. We're not worthy. Thanks so much for all the fantastic episodes this week, guys. My family took a huge 12-hour road trip this week to go to a family reunion, so they couldn't have come at a better time. Just wanted to write in about a few thoughts I had while listening. First of all, I wanted to say that I really loved that you guys opened with your Civil War thoughts. I loved hearing the difference in opinions, especially when Selena brought up some of the problems she had with the film. Everyone has been giving it so much praise, and while I did enjoy it, I also appreciated hearing a different opinion on the film, which I think is always healthy. Also, I love, love, loved the latest Gilmore Girls special. Not going to lie, I was getting a bit impatient, but the wait was definitely worth it. Your analysis on season 2 was so thoughtful, and love that you guys opened up about your personal lives and shared how that impacts the way you see the show. It added such a nice personal touch that we don't always get, and I hope you guys do more of that in the future. Last thing, kudos on your Damien special because it was so great, but Pam, I really hope you remind Bradley at some point that he once saved you from a spider because that is still one of my favorite stories ever. It's like the ultimate meet cute story. Cheers, guys, and can't wait for the next episode."
Aw, that was a nice email.
It was.
That, like, rounded up everything. Yeah. That's wonderful. Thank you so much. And the second email comes from Fernanda Torres. Pam, take it away.
Sure. Fernanda,
story time with Pam.
Story time. Why is this story time with me?
Because it's kind of long.
Oh, okay. Oh, you always give me the long ones. All right, let's do this. I feel like I have to take a breath. Fernanda says, "Hey, Hypes, writing to give you my very late feedback on the Fantastic Beasts trailer. Well, maybe not so much this, but the rest of the Wizarding World recent canon changes. Guys, I swear I'm trying so hard to be excited about this, but I'm with Selena. The truth is, I couldn't care less. And worse, it has begun to annoy me deeply, it being this never-ending expansion of the Wizarding World. Nothing against new book editions, new parks, new ebook versions, but this loss of control of canon is just too stressful. Here I am creating a Twitter account exclusively to follow Joe so as not to risk missing anything, worrying about what she'll do with my beloved characters and cursed child, and trying to understand why, oh, why should I care about Newt? Sorry, I just don't. To be honest," "I know, I feel like it's such a, because Eddie Redmayne is so, anyway, never mind." She continues, "To be honest, I was more or less able to be okay with it all up until the point of the launching of the other Wizarding schools on Pottermore. Speaking from a Brazilian point of view, and of course this does not reflect the opinion of all Brazilians, Castelo Brujo was just embarrassing. The name in itself sounds incredibly silly, like a 4-year-old child is silly, and it makes no sense to be written together. It's just too obvious that the word was not invented by a Brazilian, and the name does not even remotely fit its description of a temple in the middle of the rainforest school. To sum this up, it just sounds fake. I mean, I really do love Jo and her writing very much, but this was just no. Nothing in the world annoys me more than when a foreigner reduces Brazil to a flora fauna paradise and soccer. And sadly, that's just what she did." Well, with Quidditch in this case. "As much as I understand, that was not her intention. I can only speak for myself when I say that never while reading Harry Potter, I thought, hey, I wish there was a wizarding school in Brazil. I don't think I needed Brazil to be included in this at all. Not like this. It's definitely better to be left out than this sort of inclusion. So I declared for myself that this was not canon, and by pure logic, all the added new info on Pottermore became not canon for me too. After that, I confess I lost almost all interest in any update and haven't read her new writings on Pottermore ever since. And it just bums me out. I'm assuming that's what she was trying to say.
Burns me, possibly. Mm. Yeah.
Burns me, something like that. So given some time, I gave it a shot and watched the Fantastic Beasts trailer, and I actually thought it looked interesting, charming, and cool. So I have a tiny bit of hope still. Let's wait and see. I just wish that she sticks to the world we already know and love and stops trying to include everybody. My ultimate happiness on this fandom right now would be the Patronus quiz, the damn yes. encyclopedia, and her re-releasing that new Cormorant Strike novel every year. Not much to ask, dare I say. Sorry for the long email. Sending much love to you, Fernanda. Well, Fernanda, I hope I did your long email justice on the show, because I think I need a drink of water now. Sorry.
I think I just love the perspective she's bringing, because I know I joined them on MuggleCast last week, and we were talking about how Rowling is sort of, I mean, she's clearly making an effort, especially with Ilvermorny, to include the Native American. Like, she's making, basically, she's trying to make this the Native American school rather than the American school. And we were talking about how that's a great idea in theory, and if she hadn't done this, like, if she'd excluded them, people would have stirred up a shitstorm. And obviously, America is a different case, because she needs to focus on America, because Fantastic Beasts takes place in America. And I love the perspective of someone from one of the places that got a new school saying, actually, I don't want a new school. I'm fine being left out, rather than, because I think it also just speaks to the fact that it breaks the illusion. You know, when you have this, and obviously this is not true if you're British, but if you have this school in, like, somewhere in Britain, and it's called Hogwarts, which is silly, but that's fine because it's British and it's old and it's school uniforms and it's boarding school stuff, and you get that sense that Hogwarts is really out there somewhere. And then when you get this expansion, and she's like, I'm going to give you, you get a school, and you get a school. And it's just this kind of imitation of what it would really be like. And it makes sense that Fernanda feels that it's less real, because suddenly she's very aware of the fact that it's constructed by someone based on maybe a superficial knowledge, but certainly not a native knowledge of the culture and the country where she's placing the school. It's kind of like we were saying with the Japanese school, where their robes change depending on academic achievement. I was like, okay, well, that's super stereotypical as well. so I definitely appreciate this perspective. Like, if she set a school in Denmark, like, one thing is me being stuck having to go to Durmstrang, but another thing is if she tried to set it in Denmark and been like, in the plains of Odense, you know, the H.C. Andersen School of Magic, I would have been like, what the hell?
Right. No, I think that is a really good point. And I love that she, like, first of all, she said, like, you know, like, I'm sure some people feel like this, but not everybody feels like this, which is, like, you know, that was very thoughtful.
Yeah,
yeah. But also, like, it's true. It's like because we, as outsiders, even when we talked about Ilvermorny, we said, well, would it have been better to not include them at all? It's like, and we said it was like a can't win situation. So here's somebody who it would be, like, you know, kind of directly impacted because she is Brazilian, saying that, like, yeah, I would have rather not have been included at all. And I think that that's a very important point to make.
Mm. Yeah. Because it does ultimately trivialize, like, a huge culture, you know, especially because we get the information like this, where it's not in the context of the characters experiencing it. We're literally just getting an info dump.
Yeah.
Right.
So, yeah. Thank you so much for all that. Do you have anything to add, Kristen?
No, not really. I mean, okay. I definitely agree. It's strange. I'm not on this whole Pottermore bandwagon thing. Like, the movies are one thing, but the info dump stuff, I've just kind of been taking as with a grain of salt. Like, okay, I don't really care. I'm just going to ignore it. Hogwarts is my school. Mm. Like, you know, well, like, I don't care.
The thing is, too, is, like, people like us or Fernanda or, like, other people, we're just so inundated in fandom that sometimes Joe will answer questions and I think to myself, like, didn't we already know the answer to this and wasn't it different? It's because my brain has been so, like, screwed around with, like, headcanons that are my own or my friends or, like, other people's. And it's, like, it's sometimes it is better to just, like, you know, we don't need to know everything. And by putting everything out there, it's, like, it kind of, like, lessens that aspect of imagination that you can have to say, like, this is how I imagine this person. This is how I imagine that person. This is how I would imagine this. So.
Yeah. Exactly. So thank you so much for those emails. And if you too want to email us, you can do that hype@hypeable.com. And we have a couple of tweets to round up the show. We had one from Raven. So @lots_of_awesome, who said, "Am I the only one who doesn't like Hamilton? I tried listening to it, but just could not do it. Not my type of music." I sent her a follow-up tweet saying that she should listen to my two favorite songs, which are Satisfied and Wait For It. She did, and came back and said, "Yeah, I still don't like it."
As someone who has not seen it, who... my roommate is obsessed with it. Karen cannot stop talking about Hamilton. Trust me, I know everything Lin-Manuel Miranda ever does because she tells me. I am not, like, a major Hamilton fan. And I love musical theater, and I love what he's doing. Like, I love the idea of it, but... she's played me the soundtrack. I haven't heard it from start to finish, but I've heard a lot of it. And while it's fine, I don't get as excited as everybody else. I love that it's, you know, it's amazing, and I'm loving that people love it and are excited about musical theater, but it's not really my cup of tea either. So you're not alone. It's okay. There's always someone else who sees your point of view. So, yeah, you're not alone. There is definitely, you know, there's definitely people who don't love it quite so much. And it's totally okay.
I'm not one of those people, but my a very good friend of mine who is, like, she was involved in, and, like, she was a professional dancer in this and that. She has done a lot of Broadway, and... she'll leave her nameless so nobody harasses her, but she said, like, you know, I listened to it and I thought it was just all right. And then she said, like, I feel like it's going to be one of those things like Spring Awakening that becomes a cult classic, but it's like, it's not as good as people think, but people want to believe the hype. And, like, that's why, like it has grown kind of like it like bigger than itself. I'm not under the impression of that, but that's, you know, that's one person's opinion. I think that, of course, like, if you don't like rap music, you're not into, like, you know, like, that, like, I could see why it wouldn't appeal to you. But I think that even if it doesn't...
If you don't like good stuff, Raven.
Well, no, I was going to say, I think that even if you don't, you can still appreciate the creativity that went into it, which is nice. Because you can say, like, you can appreciate it as a creative body of work. So, like, because it's, like, literally everything you read in history class, and this brilliant man has figured out how to... make it relatable to a whole new generation. So I think, like, there are different ways to appreciate it, even if you don't necessarily love the soundtrack or it's not your type of music, which is understandable because rap is not going to be everybody's cup of tea. So.
And I find it crazy because I love Lee Odom Jr. and I love John Groff, and I was so excited that they were in a show together, and I, you know, like, I love the idea behind it. I just, for some reason, the music didn't, like, reach out and grab me, like, some have. Right. So.
You know what I will say, though? Try, like, maybe reading the lyrics. I don't know. I think I look at music in a different way. Like, and this is not just with Hamilton. It's with everything. Like, if I don't like something, I need to understand why. So sometimes I'll go back to a song and I'll say, like, I don't like this song. And then I'll read the lyrics and something will click. And I won't necessarily, like, absolutely love the song, but I can appreciate it as a body of work or as a poem or whatever. So maybe if you just, like, tried, like, reading it, you might, like, if you just wanted to understand, I guess, the appreciation or, like, the draw, that might help. Yeah. But if you don't, then, like, that's cool, you know? Like, everybody, like, I always say this too, it's like, who cares, like, who likes what? You just, like, jam out to what you love and, like, whatever. There's, like, worse things to be held up in a tizzy over. So,
Exactly. And as someone who, like, has recently gone through pretty much that of not being too excited about Civil War and absolutely just not understanding the obsession with it. I totally identify or sympathize or empathize, that's the word, with you, Raven. And I don't think it's a... I mean, obviously, those two songs that I sent you, I really genuinely think they're amazing. And if you don't, that's not, like, that's fine. You know, you can like whatever you want, like Chris, like Pam said. You know, it's not a thing, but I do understand it. It feels weird to be on the outskirts of this hugely popular thing and just be like, yeah. I don't see what you see.
And we have all been there. Like, trust us. Like, we've all looked at something and said, like, I feel like I should like this, but I don't like this. And then you feel like you shouldn't say anything because everyone will hate you. We won't hate you, Raven. It's totally cool.
Yes. Exactly. You just come to us with your Hamilton dislike, and we will embrace it. And our final tweet from Kathleen Anderson says, you are killing me. I thought I'd get away with just listening to the specials, but you've sucked me in. Hashtag Gilmore Girls rewatch begins. Woo! Another one! Yay. Amazing. Thanks, Selena, for listening, Kathleen.
Did you start watching season 3?
I watched the first episode.
Okay, that's not bad.
Oh, so mean. What a mean thing for a shipper like me. The Luke and Lorelai thing.
See, I think I have an eternal Gilmore Girls rewatch. Like, I just am always watching Gilmore Girls. Like, it's just on in the background. It's on while I do things. I turn it on when I'm, like, trying to get to sleep. Because I've seen it so many times that I don't need to, like, watch every second, but I always, you know, there's certain scenes and certain moments that you're just like, oh, yeah, that part. Oh, I love this episode.
You know, what, Kristen? That is actually a good point, because I have many times fallen asleep while trying to, like, catch up with things like The Walking Dead, and then I always either have really, really weird, scary dreams, or I wake up with, like, that, like, music, you know, like the Bear McCree, likes to put, like, loud sounds that go in, and then all of a sudden it's, like, feeding into my mind. But with Gilmore Girls, all you have is the la-la-las, and everything's always happy for the most part. So it's
very mellow. Yeah, it's very lovely. Never, there's no jarring, scary, you know, loud, obnoxious things going on in Gilmore Girls, unless it's the church bells. You know, like, it's all just mellow and lovely. So, yeah, I highly recommend turning it on when you need to rest, as long as you've seen it before, because other words, you'll be drawn in and you'll never be able to stop.
That's true. That's how I like it to have it on the background and stuff. But, like, paying attention, obviously, because I'm watching for the first time. But it is a very nice show to watch. So thank you so much to all of you for listening to the show and for leaving us comments. And if you want to leave us a comment on anything we talked about today, you can do that either, as I said before, by emailing us, hype@hypeable.com. You can tweet us at Hypeable Hype. You can find us on hypeable.com, which is hypable.com. And you can find us on Tumblr, hypepodcast.tumblr.com. Come for the Sebastian Stan gifts and stay for the Sebastian Stan gifts is pretty much the point of our Tumblr so far. And I like it. And of course, if you know, we talked about shows we like and shows we enjoy. And if you, like me, are obsessed with Buffy and go to sleep watching those episodes, or if you, like Kristen, haven't seen Buffy before and want an excuse to catch up, you should go to Hypeable and check out our Rewatchable podcast, where we are currently rewatching all of Buffy, and we are in season 3 by now, but all the old shows are obviously on there, so you can just catch up if you want to, or just pick up where we are now. And we're about to watch, I think I just watched Helpless yesterday, which, oh my gosh, so many feels. So we'll be talking about that this weekend, so that should be a lot of fun. And yeah, just check out what other podcasts we have on there. There should definitely be something for you, whatever you're into. Until next week, oh my god, the 100 and the 100 special and the 100 special.
Lots of hundreds.
It's all happening, guys.
Lots of hundreds.
Until next week, my name is Selena.
My name is Pamela.
And I'm Kristen.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Is this really 99?
Yeah, next week's our big 100 episode. Oh, not God. To be confused with the 100.
The 100 episode. It is also going to be at the 100 episode.
Okay.
Because it's the finale today.
Anyway. Dun, dun, dun.
Okay.
Oh, his name just left my brain. I hate it when that happens. Hold on.
Ooh. Hook.
No.
David.
No.
Robin.
Eh. Hold on. Darn it.
Rumpelstiltskin. Henry. I'm running out of names, I know.